Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast, your home for grand growth through collaboration. This is your space to connect, create, and collaborate in a community of heart-centered entrepreneurs and change makers. Hosted by our community, this podcast brings collaboration to life. You will meet members who share their wisdom, offer insights and practical tips, and even interview each other. If you're ready for more clarity, stronger connections, and better results in your business, you are in the right place. Listen in, connect with us, and be part of something grand. Welcome to the Grand Connection Podcast. I'm Susan, and today's episode is all about collaboration and what actually makes it successful. It's not the buzzword version, but the real kind that builds trust, friendships, and long-term growth. I'm very excited to welcome an amazing guest and longtime Grand Connection collaborator, Michelle Abraham from Amplify You. Michelle is the host of our Grand Podcasters group and the producer of the Grand Connection Podcast. We're also part of her High Vibe podcast network, and we've spoken on each other's stages many times, and she's currently in our Neuroscience of Connection Self-Mastery program, which we've talked a lot about in the last few episodes. Over the years, I've had the joy of meeting Michelle in person a few times, too, and that's always the icing on the cake, isn't it, Michelle? And what I love most is that we've become genuine friends and that this relationship grew entirely through the power of collaboration. Today, we're diving into podcasting, guesting, swaps, and what it really means to collaborate in a way that feels generous, aligned, and sustainable. So, Michelle, welcome.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so glad to be here. And I am so glad this podcast is live and out there in the world. It is amazing. You've done a great job.
Well, we've been planning it for a while, and I'm very grateful, Michelle, because you've really been the person who's made it happen. You know, sometimes you need that person that just gets you over the edge to say, let's just do it, right? And that's what you did for us. And I know you've done that for a lot of your other podcasters that are part of your network and your clients and in the community too. So you're a great motivator for all of us. I love what you say about that saying where, you know, if you're embarrassed of your first couple of episodes, you started too late. How does that go? What's the saying?
If you're not embarrassed by your first few episodes, you waited too damn long to get them out there.
Okay, that's it. Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Anyways, I know this has been a struggle for me because I don't love my voice. I don't, you know, I'm nervous about this, but I've gotten more confident just in the last few podcasts that I've been doing. And of course, with your coaching. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're doing awesome.
Well, I mean, you are the queen of collaboration. When I first met you, you were, you know, I think we met right away and we started working together. We did some work together, both for each other on podcasting and web work that I was doing. And then you became part of our community and you became part of the Grand Podcasters group. You've been doing collaboration like through podcasting for how long? How long have you been doing this?
A long time. Well, I've been in the podcasting space for 13 years.
Oh my God.
But we always laugh about this because at Amplify You, we never even really had like official like marketing and things going on until like many, many years in, because we had such great collaboration going on. We had such great referrals that we didn't really need it. It was kind of like a joke. It was like, it was hard to find us. And it was like the secret knock, the bar down the street that you try to get into with a code, right? Like that's kind of how we felt, because we had so many great partners that were referring people to us that we didn't really need to do that outward marketing.
You know, and I know that from my own marketing agency. I mean, I play with marketing because I love it, but you know, people will call me and say, oh, do you want us to help you with lead generation? I said, no, I have enough leads coming through my power teams and my collaborators that I don't need any more work. And that's a nice place to be in, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like, that's so great. And that's what I'm so excited about the Grand Connection, too, when you first started it. I was there before. I met you before you started the Grand Connection.
I know.
Crazy. And so it's so fun to see this come to life because I know the power behind the connections and the collaborations. And I know what you guys are thinking starting it. And it's just like so cool to see how it works now and how the collaboration is like such a centerpiece to everything.
Oh, I know. And you are one of the inspirations of it all now, because I've been watching you and how you collaborate. And one of the most visible examples that has comes to mind right now about a collaboration that I've seen you do through the years is Potapalooza. And that's been a big success for you. What do you think made that collaboration work so well for you?
Yeah, so interesting enough, that collaboration came from a podcast interview. Of course it did. Actually, my partner in Potapalooza, Kimberly Crowe, she was interviewed on one of our friends' podcasts, Val Lowe. And Val said, Michelle, you have to interview this lady. She's amazing. You guys would get along so well. I can just see it. And so I interviewed her. And yes, she was totally right. First of all, we got along really well. We had lots of chemistry as far as friendship goes. We started a friendship first. And from there, we had this idea for she works with speakers. I work with podcasters. And Potapalooza was what we birthed through that collaboration. And what I think, first of all, was really that we had a lot of respect for each other and a lot of a friendship and as a foundation, which started on the podcast. So that's really been the big success behind it, is that friendship foundation. And so I care about the results. She cares about the result. And they both equally supported each of our businesses, too. So I think those were a couple of the key things as to why that partnership has been really successful. And I would say the last thing is we always check in with each other. Is this still working? Is this not working? And neither one of us are attached to the answer. If it doesn't work for one of us anymore, that's completely fine. And we'll just stop it then. But, you know, we check in after every single event. Is this still good? Is this still working for you? Is this still working for me? Do we want to keep doing this? And in fact, it was a big joke as in the event, because we like never announced the next date until we had done that check-in. So we always would check in, okay, are we sure? And we didn't want to announce the next date if it wasn't going to be something we wanted to continue on.
Well, announcing the next date at the event is very good marketing too, because everybody's already hyped up and they're signing up right away and becoming affiliates. It's very good. Yeah. So for those listening who haven't heard of Potapalooza, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about it?
Sure. Yeah. I'll just be quick on it because it's a crazy event. So it happens twice a year and it's an all-day event for podcasters and people who want to get on podcasts. What we do is we have a main stage where we have great speakers all day long. Susan's been a speaker there several times. And we have people that come as a general admission and watch the main stage speakers. They leave with tons of education and have a great time. And it's a great day for them. We have this other little thing going on. It's called the VIP. If you become a VIP, you get to be interviewed on up to 5 podcasts that day in the podatorium. So our VIPs are scheduled on podcasts that you've chosen, and the guests, it's like a matching system. And we have all these podcasters. We have about 40 podcasters each event that want to interview you, and you choose which ones you like. They like you. We match it and we book it. So you could get up to 5 podcasts interviews done that day. And so for some people who want to get visibility, like this is a ticket to get on lots of visibility in one day. So it's kind of a crazy event. And we've done it I think we're on our 14th or 15th one coming up in March.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot. It
is a lot.
And it's a fast moving event, very exciting and lots of value in one day. It's one day, right?
One day, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been at it and I know many, many members that have been at it. They either have podcasts that are part of the podcast where you get to be interviewed on, or they are guests. And like a lot of people are interested in guesting. I think that's a fabulous way to get exposure, to get the word out, and to connect with the podcasters too. Can you explain a little bit about the difference between having a podcast and being a guest and how that works together?
Yeah, for sure. And if you're a Grand Connection member and you're listening to this and you want to be a featured podcaster at Potapalooza, just reach out to me through the podcasters group at Grand Connection and we'll get you hooked up. Because it's a great way for podcasters to get visibility, at, you know, right when you're getting started or if you've been around for a long time. So it's a great way to find like great guests. So there's 2 different things in podcasting. You're either a guest or you're a host, or the best of both worlds is both. So this is why I love podcast hosting so much, because when you go and be a guest, that's amazing. You get to borrow someone else's audience. You get to give great value to this audience. But sometimes it's hard to get booked on shows. And so the best thing I've found to book or to get booked on lots of shows is to do the inviting first. I'll invite someone who I want to be on their show. I'll invite them on my own show first. So that's kind of what I love about the podcasting and podcast guesting, is that the having your own show helps you get on more shows as a guest too, not just interviewing people on your own show.
I call it podcast swapping. Like I see a lot of that happening. People will come to your group at the Grand Podcasters group and they leave. I get these comments at the end that go into the recaps and it's just like, I got booked on a podcast. I did a swap. Yay. You know, that's happening all the time because if you have a podcast, you're looking for great people to mm-hmm. be able to interview. And yeah. other podcasters are always great interviews because they know what you're expecting and what the audience is expecting. And a lot of times when you're collaborating and, you know, networking, you're reaching the same audience.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a lot easier to invite a podcaster on as a guest because they already know what to expect. They got the equipment, they got the mic, they got the earbud, they got everything already, right? And they'll promote the heck of it out of it because they know what it's like to have a podcast that needs promotion, right? So podcast guests are great. Podcast swapping is awesome. It's such a great tool for you to meet other people. And so one of the things that I love about podcasting is even just using your podcast to open doors to relationships of people you don't already know, and that be your joint venture and that be your collaboration like engine, because with a podcast, we can get on, Susan, and you and I can get on and have a 20-minute conversation. We can accomplish more and learn more about each other in 20 minutes than like a 3-hour coffee chat, right? So it's a very efficient way to meet future collaborators.
And the collaboration is happening right throughout it. We'll have a little bit of time kind of ahead of time in the green room. We're going to have a little conversation and chat, get to know each other. We have the podcast. That's what we're doing right now. We're going to talk afterwards. But then I'm going to share this podcast with my guest. They're going to share with their audience. That's a collaboration right there. And then you may invite me back onto your podcast. It just reciprocates. And it's a great way to build that relationship in a way that's actually creating value for both parties.
Yeah. And also, my audience trusts me. And so when I bring you onto my audience, that builds even more trust. And now they'll trust you as well. And the audience wants to hear from people that they trust, right? And when we trust each other to open up each other's audiences to each other, that's a whole other level of collaboration too, right? Like that's really, it's really important. Like I work hard for my audience, my clients, my people. And when I bring a guest on my show, you know, that you're opening up that audience to someone else. It's a really cool way to build trust in relationships.
Now, we're talking about podcast swapping. Have you heard of any other, you know, collaborations that have come from podcasting? You've talked about Podapalooza. So that's a big, a joint venture, right? That makes a lot of money for you and for the people that are all part of it.
Yeah. Well, and I can say I've made multiple six figures from one podcast interview. And so then that's Podapalooza. So that has been I've had two collaborations like that. Another guest of mine, him and I created a course together that we sold multiple times that also did really well. So those two collaborations for me have been the very most profitable monetization things. But my clients and our podcasters and our community, there's so many collaborations happening out there. One of them is an executive coach in her space, and she is constantly getting now booked into other corporations through the collaborations on her podcast. And she was having a hard time in her business reaching through those doors. Sometimes there's a lot of red tape around, you know, corporations and trying to get the CEO on a phone call to talk about coming to work with them. But now she's just over flooded with referrals and conversations because of the collaborations of the guests she's had on the show, which has been really cool.
I've heard that story so many times from members in the community that said, you know what? I get my clients from my podcast.
Yeah.
It's somebody that I wouldn't be able to easily open the door for. Their secretary's, you know, gating it and you can't get a call through, and you invite them to be on your podcast. They're open to that. They come, they meet you, they get some exposure. It's a win for them. And then they get to know you, know, like, trust. And then, of course, they might hire you.
Yeah. We have one podcaster who... she works in like a very special niche, and she was trying so hard to get like a celebrity in her niche to come and, you know, have a conversation with her, to work together, to collaborate together. That person was ignoring her. She puts out a podcast into the world, right? And that person then all of a sudden reached out to her to be a guest, wanted to be a guest on her show. She's like, I've been trying to get a hold of this person forever. But now because she has a show, that person actually reached out to her first. So that's kind of cool. That, you know, just helps you open the door to people that you wouldn't be able to reach otherwise.
Although that's powerful. I'm just trying to think, like, can you think of any strategies that when you work thinking about your, okay, you're in the podcast space. This is your world. And podcasting is by far one of the best ways to collaborate and to get started in building relationships. What are some tips you can share with our listeners on ways to make this work well for them, that it is profitable and they're using their time wisely and strategically?
Yeah, well, see, I use the podcast as a filter. So someone that I think might be a good podcast or might be a good collaborator in business, I'll invite them on the podcast first to do a temperature check to see if there's that chemistry there, if we kind of jive, and so I use it as a filter. Afterwards, then, you know, there's all sorts of things that you can do outside of just podcast guessing to make sure that the collaboration is going to go on and work. And I always like to start with something small. So do a little workshop together, maybe collaborate on a workshop. I've done that with many, many partners. That was a small commitment. You do like a 60 to 90 minute workshop together. You both invite your audiences and, you know, it might be a paid thing. And then you both make money from it. See how it goes. See how you work together. See if you each, you know, market and, you know, it jives. If that goes well, then go to the next step. So I always treat it like a relationship. You don't get married first into a long-term commitment, collaboration, like a starting a whole new business together until you've tested out these.
You need a few little dates first and try it out.
A few dates first, yeah. Yeah, and maybe even just be a promotional partner for each other first. That could be
So a lot of people, yeah, that's what you'll start out with, is being an affiliate partner, a JV partner. Exactly. And you get an affiliate link, you track it, and the tracking is really important. Like, a lot of people don't realize how important that is to know who's bringing what people to an event, how much they're supporting it, what's working. So what do you do for tracking?
Yeah, well, and see, that's where it stops for a lot of people right there, because yeah. A lot of people don't track anything, including myself. I'm terrible at tracking things, but I know I go more on my gut and my feeling of, but that's just the type of personality I am. I go more with like results on, like, you know, there's people actually at the event, the content's good, we jive together. But I know there's another whole type of people that need to see those numbers and those analytics. And I think it's a very smart business ROI too, to see those, the tracking. So using an affiliate manager, we use Go High Level for ours. We've also used system.io in the past for ours, but seeing the results, so we can give our guests a special link and they can then promote the episode using that special link. So I can see if anyone opts in from that particular episode. And how we were doing this in the past is we had like a little gift vault that all of our guests' gifts went into the same vault. And so I would give the guests the link to the vault. They would market the vault, and then I could see who came in through that link. So kind of like Potapalooza, that's how we market Potapalooza. Mm-hmm.
Well, Potapalooza, I just got my link, my affiliate link from you guys this week. So I got to get that out there and start promoting it to you.
Yeah, it will be in the show notes.
yes, we'll put it in the show notes for sure. Well, and do you have like, because people will watch this, listen to this podcast, you know, at different times of the year. Potapalooza, I presume you have a direct landing page that you can come to all the time, right? And that's another thing to think about when you're doing your marketing and you're giving out links and things. Are these links ones that are evergreen? Are they going to be there for the long time? Or, you know, maybe you're doing interviews, guesting all the time. You're going for interviews. You don't know when people are going to be listening to that episode. So whatever you're sharing at that time, have a link that goes to some sort of a page that is evergreen and that they can keep getting value and, you know, learning more about you whenever they listen to it.
Right. And that's so smart because podcasts are evergreen. And this is the problem with podcasting. You can't be like, hey, we have an event coming up on such and such a date. Well, if I come in and listen to that a year later, I'm like, well, that event's over. That sucks for me. So yeah. If you have some sort of link, like say, I always use like michelleabraham.com or Michelle, free gift from michelle.com or something like that, where it's a page that people can go to. I don't have the free gift from Michelle one right now, but I have michelleabraham.com, but it's a page or a link. My point is that it's something that people can go to. And if the gift changes over time, the link is not broken. And that was something my first 100 episodes as a guest, I went out and had all sorts of links out there because the podcast guesting I was doing, I would go on any show that took me on and it was like about parenting or traveling or business or whatever. And so I didn't have a free gift for all those kind of things, which is a mistake. So I shouldn't be going on all those shows. Just because I can talk about it doesn't mean it's worth my while and my time and doesn't lead to my business. So when I got smart about that and realized that I was giving all these links that are now broken all the way out there, like crazy, now getting smart, the idea and strategy is free gift from yourname.com or your own domain.com. And then that way the gift can change over time and you don't have to commit to keeping that gift and that link live forever.
Yeah. And you are much more strategic now too. You're a busy mom. You've got lots going on in your life. You live off the grid and you got your kids take a boat to school. There's a lot going on in your life, Michelle. How do you be strategic in what you do for your collaborations?
Yeah, well, I fewer and deeper. So I have a few people I collaborate with that I've met that, I mean, there's so many people I want to collaborate with on a bigger level, but just don't have the time for it. So very strategic, you know, like I come and help you in the podcasters group with Grand Connection. I value that. I love the people that come to that. I love you and your organization. And so that's one of the ones that I love doing. Kimberly and I do a cruise together called the Influencers Cruise and also Potapalooza. That's a partnership that I'll keep because we do things together and it's a commitment to your partners, right? You want to show up and you want to be committed and you want to be able to deliver good things because that person is important to me and their audience is expecting me to deliver good things because they refer people to me, right? So I show up and give good content. And so fewer, better. You don't want to have tons and tons of partners unless you're just playing the affiliate game and promoting each other's things. And I find that's good, but you know, it's not as deep as it could get with something that's even better and more profitable for each of you and builds a stronger collaboration. So start small, start with a couple of partners and you can always grow that over time. If you're launching something big, sure, go and do the 100 affiliates and all that kind of thing. That's all great, but you want to nurture those people and, you know, build relationships with them. And yeah, I think the deeper the relationships, the better, and the fewer, the better.
Yeah. And I do see you doing both because Potapalooza, there you have a lot of affiliates in that. But that's been running for many years and you've got a lot going on that. And it's a big, big event.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
So you kind of have both going, but it's very organized. Kimberly Crow is super organized. First time I met her, I was just like, oh my gosh, she was calling us. We had a call and she was in her car and she just right away gave us off the top of her head, you know, all these links. She had one of these magical links where you could find a whole bunch of things that she had going on. And, you know, we had all these ways that we could play together and get to know each other at the beginning. And from one call, she was just had them ready and available for us to connect with and figure out how to build the relationship that next step. So one of the things, too, is when you're collaborating, you know, think about how you can collaborate. Be prepared. Have some things available that, you know, you have going on. If you do have an affiliate system in place, have those links available to share with you know, the people that you meet, if they're interested and they do like what you're up to. Don't be pushy about it. You know, as we have, if you push too much, people pull away. But it's great to be prepared. And that's what I really valued from meeting Kimberly was I honored and respected how organized she was in that. And you are too. You're very organized in everything you're doing too, Michelle.
You know, there's a way that you can use your podcast. And I know this is what Kimberly does with her Experts Cafe. It's a 10-minute podcast interview that asks all those questions that then qualifies people for that deeper call where it's like, okay, here's all the things I have. What do you have? How can we play together? So it's kind of a cool, it's like a first step. And then the second step is that call that you're talking about there. And I think that's a cool way of doing the podcast too, because you get to know people for 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, and then see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. The last thing I just want to briefly talk about is being a podcast guest. A lot of people listening, they may not have started their podcast. Go to the Grand Podcasters Group and you'll learn all about what it takes to start a podcast. It's not that hard. And it is a great investment if you want to look at collaboration in the way that we're talking about today. But as being a guest, how do you be a really great guest? And what do you need to have in place to make it easy for people to want to book you?
Yeah, so being a great guest is that you're going to show up, you're going to be prepared, you have a topic, you're going to give great value to the audience, and you're going to have a call to action that leads somewhere that you can then give to the audience. So we usually do something like that on a speaker one sheet, and it's just a one little one page, which has your top title, your headshot, your social media links, all the things that a podcaster needs to do the show notes. If you give them to that, give that to them at the very beginning, and also maybe some questions to ask you. That doesn't mean that they're going to ask you those questions, but it means that you're giving them some ideas in case they run out of things to say. Susan and I have got a long-time friendship and we can go back and forth and have an easy conversation. That's not always the case for someone comes on. It's a little bit more like rigid. So until you get to know people, until you warm up, which is, as a podcaster host tip, make sure in the green room, you make the person make your guests laugh. Have a little conversation, have a little warm up so that when you get on to the recording part, the conversation flows a little better. But these little questions are great for the podcast guests to have on their one sheet. So in case the podcaster needs a little help as to know what questions to ask. That's a great idea.
You know what I do when I get asked to be on a podcast? Because I get nervous, Michelle. I'm not a professional speaker. I've always been a background person, and this has been a new journey for me, stepping up and doing this podcast.
So
I know. Thank you. You need people to give you positive affirmations. Keeps you going. But I like, before I'm going to get on to, like, Elisa's asked me to be on her podcast, right? And so I just let my VA to go, and she's going to scan through the transcripts of her last shows and give me all the questions she's asked other people. Just so I kind of can feel prepared. Elisa, if you're listening to this, that's what I'm doing, just to make myself a little more at ease. But she's actually changed the ship because it's a new season. So she's changed it all. So the new questions in 2026 are different than 2025, because I was all ready for 2025 because I listened to her show. But now I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's she going to ask me, right?
It's funny because sometimes that might not work, because when you come on the High Vibe podcast, that I'm going to ask you questions that I don't know what I'm going to ask you until we have that conversation. So you never know. Sometimes that could work, sometimes not, but at least it eases you.
It eases me to just feel okay when I start. And then when you're here, when you're having the interview, you know, be in the moment, take some deep breaths. You don't have to be speaking all the time. A breath is a pause. It's okay. So you can take that once in a while. That's what we're learning in our neuroscience course, is how to manage those emotions and be aware of what's going on when your nervous system starts reacting to being nervous about something. So,
gosh, when I get on a stage, I'm nervous about my brain does a blank, like it has a hard time remembering what I was going to say. It's so embarrassing. And then I talk too fast and my voice sounds like it's nervous. And it's like, oh, gosh, it's a disaster. I like to go outside before I have a podcast interview, whether I'm the host or the guest. Go outside, get into nature, put your feet on the grass, take a few deep breaths, go for a little walk for 10 minutes, and then come back in. And even if you need to stand up while you're recording the podcast, that way it helps your diaphragm speak more clearly and have a little bit better time breathing. That's a good idea too. But that's my little pre-podcast warm-up ritual. It just helps me ground a little bit more before an episode.
Very good advice. I'm going to use that for sure. And I should get a standing desk here.
Well, I'm sure you were out skiing, Susan, and that pressure is right.
I did. You can see my face is still red from the wind. So that's why I have a red face if anybody's watching the video. So before we wrap up, I just want to thank you, Michelle, for sharing your wisdom. I mean, you are a grand giver at The Grand Connection. You truly embody what our community is all about. Your willingness to collaborate with us, you share openly and support others in such a grand way. And it's a big part of why our community continues to grow is your contribution to it. So I'm just very grateful. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being you. And thank you, everyone, for listening and being part of something grand. Michelle, where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, and they can get a hold of me at michelleabraham.com. That it leads to many different roads, that website. So go on over there and see what you're interested in and see where to follow along. And make sure you come and check out Susan's podcast on the High Vibe Podcast Network. There's lots of cool podcasts there. But I just want to say, Susan, before I let you go, seeing this is all about collaboration, this podcast has been one of the best models of collaboration I've seen in a podcast in a long time, because you're using all the community members and, you know, brilliance and connections, and you're not using them. You're collaborating with them on the episodes as a host, as a guest, as collaborators, as, you know, people teaching workshops in the community, like so many cool ways that you're collaborating through just through this podcast alone at Grand Connection is amazing.
Oh, it's well, you know, it's the community that makes it happen. And the fact that I am nervous about doing this, I'm trying to get other people to be part of it.
Well, I love it. It just makes it a big collaboration tool.
Thank you so much, Michelle. This conversation has been such a beautiful reminder that collaboration works best when it's built on trust, authenticity, and clarity. When we connect with intention, create real value, and collaborate generously, opportunities and income tend to flow naturally. If today's episode sparked ideas for you, I invite you to reflect on where you might strengthen your own collaboration journey. Is it connection, clarity, or how you're collaborating right now? And if you'd like to explore these conversations in community, come join us at the Grand Connection. You can grab a guest pass, attend a few events, especially Michelle's, come to her Grand Podcasters group, and experience what heart-centered collaboration really looks like. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being part of something grand. Thank you for joining us on the Grand Connection podcast, where we achieve grand growth through collaboration together. If this episode sparked something for you, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend looking for a community to support their growth. Before we sign off, today is a grand day to reach out to someone in your own network and reconnect. You never know where one conversation can lead. Until next time, let's connect, create, collaborate.